Well, you've been some real troopers and hanging in there for 5 weeks with a fan or follower, haven't you? Some of you haven't been here for perhaps the whole fan or follower series. I'm glad you're here this morning, but today is session 5 of fan or follower. And if you want to turn in your Bible to Luke 9, we're going to take it up at the end of the chapter. Luke 9 again is where we have been, but we're going to take it up again at the end of the chapter today. I just want to say thank you for following Jesus. May I do that this morning? Just tell you thank you for choosing to follow Jesus. You know, we were praying last night, some of us, and I'd encourage you, if you want to join us on Saturday nights to pray, we'd love to have you, but we were praying last night, there is no greater decision to ever be made, but what will I do with Jesus? At some point, we got to ask ourselves, what am I going to do with Jesus? And so I just want to say thank you this morning for saying yes to following Jesus, because there is no greater decision to be made. Bob?
Thank you for being our shepherd.
Thank you. You know, in Luke 9, we've been challenged with these words from Luke 9:23 of Jesus that said, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." We've looked at that, okay? Now that Jesus has laid out this invitation, we move on to the end of the chapter, and we see three examples of would-be followers. We would call them, in our earlier sessions here of fan or follower, we would call them fans, enthusiastic admirers. But when the invitation is laid out and the bidding is come, then procrastination sets in and excuses set in, and the true heart is revealed, not followers but fans. And so we get to the last part of this chapter, and we're going to see these three examples. And I just want to lay this out before we go to the examples. Maybe that's where we're at today. Maybe we've been procrastinating. Maybe we've made an excuse or two to not be the follower that Jesus has called us to be. Whatever our cases are today, I just want to challenge us to listen with our ears and our mind and our heart to the Holy Spirit of God as we look at this scripture. Again, Jesus is calling people, and we saw it in 9:23 over and over, if anyone desires to come after me. He's calling people. He's calling you and I, and he's calling our friends and our family and our neighbors and our coworkers and the people all around us. He's calling people to come follow him. And so let's take a look as he's laid out that invitation, what these three individuals say at the end of Luke chapter 9. I'm going to begin at Luke 9:57. So if you've got your Bible, that's where I'm at. "Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.'" That sounds pretty good to start with, doesn't it? "I will follow you wherever you go." "And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.'" This potential follower seems to really mean, I want to follow Jesus. But Jesus reminds this potential follower that he, the master, is going through from town to town to town, and he's not staying at the Holiday Inn. He reminds this would-be follower, as we saw on session 2 of Fan or Follower, you better count the cost, because there could be one. He simply says to him, "The foxes of the ground have a hole to sneak into. The birds of the air have a nest to climb into. But the Son of Man hasn't got any place to lay his head. You better count the cost. If you're going to be my follower. And so we see the heart of this man, I believe, when Jesus said to them, are you sure you want to follow? Are you sure you're ready? Are you sure you're committed? And when he first comes to Jesus, he said, I'll do it. And then Jesus says, what about there? Will you follow me there too? He says to this would-be follower, what about there? We never hear from this person again. And so I think it's safe to conclude that he decided sleeping on the nasty old ground every night probably wasn't his idea of a good time. He had some enthusiasm, but I don't see where he decided to follow. And as I think of this one person, I ask myself, and I want to ask you this morning, where is the one place that you would find it hard to follow Jesus? Where is the one place that you would find it hardest to follow Jesus? Maybe for some of you, it's a work. Maybe you get to work at 8 o'clock or in the morning, or if you work the night shift or whatever it is. Maybe you get there and you say, Jesus, you go ahead and sit here in this car. I'll be back in about 8 hours. Maybe it's a little hard for you to follow Jesus at the workplace. Maybe you just go ahead and say, I'm just going to be a fan here. I'm not going to be his follower. Even though he's challenging me to talk to my coworkers about him, he's challenging me to embrace that coworker that hurts and say, can I pray for you? I'm just going to say, Jesus, you go ahead and sit here in the car. I'll be back in about 8 hours. Maybe at work is the hardest place for us to be a follower. You see, Jesus is asking this person, and he's asking the church today, when we come and say, yes, Lord, I want to follow you too, then he will say to you and I, what about there? What about to Pakistan, Brother Salek? And Salek said, yes, he's there now. He got there last week. What about to the ministry, Jim, when I already had a comfy, cushy job? And he will come to you and say, John or Joe or Jane or Susie or whatever your name is, what about there? Are you willing to follow me there too? That's what he's saying to this guy. The foxes, you see, they got a place to lay down. The birds, you see, they got a nest to climb into. But the Son of Man, he don't have no place. Are you willing to follow me there? That's what he's saying to the church today. Are you willing to follow me when I call you into that arena? That's what he's asking us of today. Sometimes he may call us into the ministry, but sometimes he may call us to love the neighbor across the road. That ain't that lovable. You know what I'm saying? Some of you do, don't you? He's asking, what about there? Sometimes he may ask you to change what you're doing. And this is the rubber hitting the road for this would-be follower. When he says, what if I'm asking you to leave your management job and come be my disciple and my follower and shepherd this congregation? Sometimes he may ask you to leave the big money and go here and be my follower. And see, friends, what he's asking this would-be follower that day when he says, Lord, I will follow you anywhere. Jesus said, what about there? I could tell you all kinds of stories about missionaries that left everything. Matter of fact, Dan Rose shared his testimony here one Sunday night, sold about everything they had up where he used to live to go to a far away place. I could tell you stories all day long. Because when Jesus calls us, brothers and sisters, to come follow me, he's going to say, what about there? Are you willing to follow there too? That's what he's asking this man, you see. Remember some weeks back, we saw that Jesus challenged the would-be followers to count the cost. And today he's reminding this man, I've got no place to stay. Are you willing to follow there too? I got no place to lay down at night. Matter of fact, I don't have a whole lot to eat. Are you willing to follow there too? And he is asking us the same thing, I believe, brothers and sisters, today. If we claim to be his followers, are we willing to follow him anywhere? Anywhere he asks us to go. You remember what we said 2 weeks ago? You cannot follow Jesus without it interfering with your life. Now you may say, Jim, I don't agree with that. Well, that's okay. You don't have to. But he was telling these three would-be followers, if you're going to follow me, it's going to interfere with your life. Not that that's a negative thing. It interfered with Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew and the 12 and all the rest of the disciples of the biblical accounts that we see. But if you're going to follow Jesus, it may interfere with our schedules. Verse 59. Then he said to another one, follow me. And the reply came, but he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now, as I looked at that and I thought about that, I rationalized, wouldn't you think that going to a funeral was a reasonable request? I would think that's a reasonable request. But alas, when we look deeper, and I've read about this some, that was not the real request, because you see, most commentators suggest that this man's dad was not in fact dead yet and probably would not be for some years. And so what this fan was really saying is, I will be your follower, O Lord, when I'm ready, when the time is right. That's what this would-be follower was saying. Because most agree the man's father was not passed on yet. And so what the heart of this would-be follower was saying is, I'll follow you when the time is right. When it works for me. When it's handy for my schedule. Follow me is what Jesus simply laid out. No different than the same two words he spoke to Matthew. And we know how Matthew responded. We've seen that too. He got up and followed. This would-be follower said, wait a second, I got a little agenda to tend to first. Got some things on my bucket list, got to tend to them first. This man even calls him Lord. It looks like we're going to have a winner. Lord, he says. But then the very next thing he says, first, I've got an agenda to take care of first. And I believe, brothers and sisters, this man's excuses resonates pretty well with us. Because a lot of times we say, yeah, you know, that's a pretty good thing. I think I should follow the Lord. But then we come back like this would-be follower and said, now is not the best time. I got a few things to tend to myself. You know what? This man isn't even saying, I'm not going to follow you. But he is saying, not right now. He is saying, I got some things to do first. And all I can do is suggest to you, friends, when we make that reason, or we can call it an excuse, there may be consequences for not answering the call to come follow Jesus. You know what Jesus replied to him? That he said, go ahead, take your time. A lot of time. No pressure. That's not what he said at all. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God, was the reply to this would-be follower. I think that gives us a bit of a taste of what Jesus really thinks about procrastination and excuses. I read a story the other day. It's a true story. Story about a man named Scott. And Scott told this story, of course, after decades, after it began to unfold. But Scott told this story. As a teenager, he sensed the call of God on his life. Just to be a follower. To say nothing about going to the ministry or anything else. Just to be a follower. Just to commit his life and his way and his future to the living God. And Scott reasoned and rationalized among himself. He said, you know what, God? Let me just go ahead and get through high school here. Let me just get some of this stuff behind me. And so he went on through high school. And then he got into college. And the call of God came back to Scott. And Scott's rationale at that point was, God, you know what? It's pretty intense here in college. It's pretty busy. And well, I got a lot of things going on. Let me just go ahead and get my degree. Let me just get ready for life. Then I'll commit to following you. Well, Scott did get his degree, and then he got married, and then some children began to come, and they began to form their little family, and God put the call on Scott's life again. He said, Scott, now will you come follow me? And once again, Scott said, you know what, Lord, it's kind of busy now, and I got a new wife, and we got some kids, and we're trying to get these jobs sorted out, and just got some things going on. Put him off again. And a lot of years went by, and God came back to Scott a lot of years later, and he said, what about now, Scott? You see, throughout these years, Scott had hit the bottom, lost his wife and children to divorce, lost his own livelihood to alcohol, was now in AA meetings for accountability. Recall the pain and the misery of the last 25 years that God was placing a call on his life. He'd lost it all. You say, Jim, why do you say this story? Because when God places a call on our lives, friends, it's like he answered this man here. When we start to make excuses, let the dead bury their own dead. I've got a role for you now. It may be just to surrender your life to Jesus Christ as Lord. Completely. It may be something else. But the moral of this story is when he calls us for a reason. And we can procrastinate and we can put off and we can delay and we can make excuses. But there may be consequences. We may even die in that 25 years. And we may never get a chance to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Or we may hit the bottom like Scott did. And so when we see this would-be follower saying, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere, but let me go ahead and bury my dad first, Jesus says, I want you to come now. Verse 61. And another one said to him, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell who are at my house. Did you know that in Jewish times and in the times of this writing, that when they had a farewell party, it lasted a while. It lasted a while. Matter of fact, they might have multiple farewell parties. And so you start to see the significance of this request. Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell at my house. Because when someone bid farewell, first of all, it was rare they ever did, they celebrated and had a party and bid them farewell. And it would take time. And here's what Jesus said to him. No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. This man's excuse to not follow right now probably annoyed the master as much as the last one in the excuses. Especially seeing how he had just had the conversation with that other person. Jesus simply said, if you started to come follow me, then don't look back. Don't keep looking back. You see, when you're plowing in those days and you're following along behind the oxen, you keep looking back, no telling where you're going to end up. You got to stay focused on the master. You got to stay focused on the plow. You got to stay focused on the business at hand. And when this would-be follower says, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell, Jesus replied to him was short and to the point. No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit, Jesus said, for the kingdom of God. Following the Lord may have been important to this guy. It may have even been a priority because he said, Lord, I'll follow you. But it wasn't top priority because he said, I got some other things first. Other things keep popping up in our lives when he's bidding us come. When he's bidding us come, be my follower. Other things pop up in our lives and we put him off. We put off that invitation. And pretty quick there's consequences or life is over. Worse yet, we've passed on and we've never decided to be his follower. And so you see, friends, many fans are willing to say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm really willing. But then Jesus points to the treasures of our heart, the security of our homes, the business of our lives. And he asks us, am I really ahead of those? He points to the workplace and our neighbor that hasn't been that kind to us, or the mission field. And he says, what about there? Are you ready to follow there too? And so, friends, let me close with this. You've sat here for a good long time through this fan or follower series, and I don't know what the Lord is speaking to your heart or has spoken during these last over a month. But I want to end with this phrase again, not for a discouragement, but to be encouraged and to recognize that to be a follower of Jesus is the most important thing we will ever do. It's the most important decision we will ever make, to be a committed follower of Jesus. And here's the phrase one more time. You cannot follow Jesus without it interfering with your life. It may interfere with your comfort zone. It may interfere with mine. But when he says, come follow me, he means follow. And so, friends, I don't know where you're at today in your following of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I would urge you, if you have never surrendered completely to the Lordship of Christ and you hear the voice of the Spirit of God and the Master saying, come, I would encourage you to say yes with enthusiasm. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And if he's bidding you come, follow to a new degree, to a new level, like he's challenging these would-be followers we looked at in Luke 9, then may the answer be, yes, Lord, I want to follow Jesus. Jess, come lead us in this song, would you please? We're going to close today, friends, with I Surrender All. It's in your hymn book. It'll be on the big screen. And as we're singing this song today, friends, I just want to encourage you. I got to find a songbook so I can lead you. I just want to encourage you, because I believe the Holy Spirit of God is challenging us, me too, but challenging us, like I said, first and foremost, am I really a follower of Jesus or am I just an enthusiastic admirer? That's the first question. And if we're not sure, it's time to be sure, friends. We don't have no guarantee of 25 years like Scott did, where God in his grace continued to work, reach down and say, Scott, are you ready now? We don't have no guarantee of 25 years. We don't have no guarantee of 25 more breaths. The Lord could return today, and if we've not made preparations, it's too late. We could die today, and if we've not made preparations, if we've not listened to the voice that says, come and follow me, it'll be too late. And so, friends, Marie is up here, and I'd encourage you, if you're not sure, you come pray with her while we're singing this song. And brothers and sisters, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's been nominal at best, it's been lukewarm at best, I pray you'd come forward and pray with Marie as well and just commit. Commit. When you say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere, to mean it. When he says, what about there? Well, I really wasn't talking about that, Lord. You know the little song? Lord, I want to follow you. Send me anywhere but to Africa. That's kind of the African attitude we get. I'll follow you, Lord, but don't send me there. Friends, Jesus isn't looking for that kind of attitudes. He's looking for the attitude that says, yes, Lord. Then he gives us the destination. Then he gives us the challenge. Then he gives us the call in our life. Then he gives us the role in ministry or whatever else. And so if you've not been there where you know God wants you to be in the attitude of surrender, why don't you come today while we're singing I Surrender All. Pray at the altar if you want to. Pray with Marie if you want to. Let's stand together and sing I Surrender All.